For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Privacy. That is a big topic, and one of the biggest problems with protecting privacy is that we don't always know if and when it's actually being violated. And then that's before you get to the entire discussion over what level of privacy we're actually entitled to in the United States. Yeah, it's a little bit confusing. I'm Mike Ferguson. I am now joined by Eric Cervone. He's a writer at The Blaze, and he's also the host of the Honest Defense podcast. And Eric, first of all, welcome to the program. And I learned something when I was reading your article at theblaze.com, and that was apparently there's a program that law enforcement agencies around the country are using to somehow track cell phone information, including location, because there's now legislation offered in the federal government to put a stop to it. And I said, well, the legislation's interesting, but what in the world are they addressing when it comes to this program or this sort of technology? What is it that we're dealing with here?
Hey, Mike, great to be here. Yeah, so the program is called Fog Reveal. It's put out by a company called Fog Data Science. And what it does is it collects location data from what they say are 250 million devices. And this data, they say, was offered up voluntarily when people opt in to whatever apps they use that ask for their location. That data can then get sent to a million different places. And one of these places is Fog Reveal. And what they do is they take this information and they put it into a database that they then sell access to, and largely to law enforcement agencies. And once you have access to that database, you can do two basic things. You can do an area search, which lets you see all of the devices that are in a particular area at a particular time. Or you can do a device search, which lets you hone in on one particular device and see everywhere that device has been within a given time. And I'm just giving a worse explanation of what you can find on the Electronic Frontier Foundation's website. They're the ones that really did the investigation into this. They're the reason why we know this information now. So if you want to learn more, you can go to EFF.org. The Associated Press also did their own investigation using a lot of EFF's information that they found, and they backed up a lot of what EFF found. So all of that you can find in detail. I highly recommend, if you're interested in learning more about it, going to those websites, going to the AP's reporting, and going to the Electronic Frontier Foundation to really dig into this.
There's about 330 million people in the country, and you say this could affect up to 250 million devices. So basically, everybody listening to us should assume that their information is in this. Does this mean we can be tracked and where we were and track our locations?
Right. What EFF explains is that if you have a cell phone, if you have any app that's asked for your location, you should assume that you could be included in this.
How does this get around Fourth Amendment implications and get around the need for a warrant to do this sort of tracking, if that's even something that people believe you need at all?
Right. Well, that's where it gets interesting, because there was a Supreme Court case in 2018 called Carpenter v. United States. And in that case, the Supreme Court said that law enforcement cannot get location data from cell phone providers, from AT&T, from Verizon, from T-Mobile, without a warrant. And the question now is, well, does that also cover companies like Fog Reveal, these data brokers? Do they also do law enforcement agencies also need a warrant to be able to get that information? And of course, Fog says, no, we're not covered by that law. And privacy organizations, Fourth Amendment proponents say, either, yes, they are covered by that law, or if they're not, they should be.
We're visiting with Eric Cervone. You can find him at the Honest Defense podcast, and we'll give you the information where to find that here in a couple of minutes. And we're talking about his article at theblaze.com. Eric, what is it that law enforcement says they need this information for? I mean, have they been able to use it to accomplish anything and say, but here's why we need it, here's why you should be okay with it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is the age-old debate between privacy and security, and law enforcement does point to a few examples. Again, this is in the AP's report. They list a few examples. There was one, a murder that they were able to solve because they were able to trace the data of the murderer, and law enforcement says that it would not have been able to have been accomplished if not for that information, if not for the data they were able to get from the Fog Reveal program. So, look, everything's a trade-off. I mean, Thomas Sowell is one of my favorite economists, one of my favorite writers. He always says there are no solutions, there are only trade-offs. So, of course, the proponents of programs like this are going to say, yes, we've had success because of this. And the question that Americans have to deal with is, are those successes worth giving up your privacy?
And Eric, let me look at the other side of this, because it's real easy to say, okay, well, if they know where I am on my phone and I don't commit any crimes and they're able to solve other crimes, then what's the big deal? For those who are pushing back against this, what's the argument being made as to why we should crack down on the digital privacy and our locations and phones and all that kind of stuff? I mean, if police can use it to solve a crime, what's the big issue here? What could go wrong?
Sure. I mean, that's the pushback you always hear is, well, I have nothing to hide, so why shouldn't I be okay with this? And the response I give is, well, then give me your phone, unlock your phone for me and let me go through it and see whatever I want to see. And I don't think anyone's ever taken me up on that offer. People always do have something that they want to keep private. And if you're everywhere that you're going is being tracked, again, you might think that you're not going anywhere bad. You have nothing you want to hide. But we know that both of our last two presidents, the last two administrations, have both called their political opponents enemies of the state. They've called them domestic terrorists. So it's very easy to say, well, right now I'm not doing anything wrong, but what you are doing now could be classified as being wrong when in a week, in a month, in a year, in 5 years. And so to me, the question is, are you okay with everything you do for all eternity now being public? And is there literally nothing in your life that you don't want everyone knowing? Because that's sort of where this path is heading.
And you can find the article at theblaze.com. And I'm going to go back to something you said very early on, Eric. I'm just assuming I'm one of those 250 million people whose information has been captured by all of this. I have plenty of apps on my phone. I don't remember ever signing off on something like that. And there's probably a lot of people say, wait a minute, I never consented to that. And it sounds like Fog is going to say, well, yeah, you did.
Well, if you have an app that's used your location, if you have a GPS app, if you have any of these fitness apps, anything that's asked to use your location at any point, you've given that consent. And again, this is part of the legal debate, which is, you know, under traditional contract law, the belief of a contract was that it's the written manifestation of what both sides are agreeing to. And in these new tech contracts where you have these terms and agreements that are hundreds of pages long and you can't conduct your daily routine without being able to click, I agree. Is that really a contract? Because they've done studies on this that have shown that if you literally sat and read all of the terms of agreements that you agreed to, that you need to agree to conduct your daily life, it would be physically impossible. There's not enough hours in the day to do that. And so that's one of the legal questions that really has never been addressed in a high-level Supreme Court landmark case, which is, are you really agreeing to all of these terms when you click I agree? And is it on you for not actually reading it? Or do we need to change what is actually acceptable when it comes to these services?
All right, Eric, where do we find you online?
You can find me anywhere, social media at Eric Cervone, my name. You can find the Honest Defense Podcast on every platform, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Google Podcasts. And that's about it. I appreciate it.
All right, Eric, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, interesting conversation. Interesting topic here. Give me a call, 314-912-1019. What do you think? I mean, you don't have to sign up for the app. I mean, it's a part of regular life. I mean, Eric was talking about even the maps. I don't know how to get there. I just type in the address. It sends me there. And so somewhere in those terms and conditions when I downloaded the app, apparently we've all clicked OK. And that information goes up to this company who says, hey, you gave it to us. Did we? Well, what do you think? 314-912-1019. And is it worth it for all of this information to be able to go to law enforcement? And they say, we can solve crimes with it. Don't worry about the other side. So like Eric said, and I think he put it really well, it is a high-tech version of that age-old debate, liberty and security. Is there any middle ground, or do you have to choose one or the other in the digital age? Let's talk about it right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, 8:30, 8:35. I want to talk about this. St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman kind of calls out city and St. Louis County over crime, but mostly the city. I'll give you a preview of that here in a minute. Then we'll talk about it at 8:35. Really want to know what you think about that. And also, I keep thinking about that conversation. The one with Eric Cervone just now was obviously I did not know that was an issue until I saw his article at The Blaze. But we're seeing some, you know, a lot of traffic, people talking about Mark Montavani in the St. Louis County executive's race. And I want to get the point across that for those who are saying, I want a true blue, lifelong, really conservative Republican in that race. Okay. What you have is a businessman and a centrist who is the Republican nominee. So if that's not good enough, then understand that the alternative is Sam Page.
And also, if you've got Democrats out there who want a non-woke Democrat,
mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, Montavani was
right
that person, you know. So if you're on the fence and you want to get rid of Sam Page and you're an independent or a Democrat, you need to be voting for Montavani.
Absolutely. There were a lot of Democrats who voted for Mark Montavani in the last couple times that he ran. So my argument to you all would be, if he represents your principles, it doesn't matter whether it's D or R behind his name. So we've got plenty of time to talk about that. 314-912-1019. Let me kind of give a rundown of some other things that are happening around the area. Just a heads up, if you were affected by the flash flooding that happened in July, it seems like July, so August, we're going on almost 3 months since that flash flooding, but it seems like it was yesterday, all that massive damage that's happening. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has actually extended the deadline to apply for disaster assistance. And this is if you're a renter or if you are a homeowner affecting St. Louis County, affecting the city of St. Louis, affecting St. Charles County residents. That new deadline is now November 7th. And if you want to learn more, the website is disasterassistance.gov. Disasterassistance, all one word, .gov, if you want to get more information. Because it was actually last week that the original deadline was, and so for whatever reason, they've decided to back it up about another 5 weeks on that. Here's an interesting thing that you're probably not going to hear in too many different news outlets. The CDC is quietly dropping their recommendations and their requirements, and it is not getting the attention as they got when they were imposing these during the panic over COVID-19. So what's happening now is that the CDC is changing the guidelines when it comes to you know, for instance, traveling into the country here. Fox News's Ted Lindner has the update.
The CDC announced Monday they're dropping its country-by-country COVID travel health notices that began back in early 2020 as the pandemic was taking hold. The agency saying the reason for the change is fewer countries are testing for the virus or reporting the number of COVID-19 cases and thus limiting the CDC's ability to calculate travelers' risk. The CDC still recommends that travelers remain up to date on vaccines and follow recommendations found on its international travel page. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
And the reason I bring this up is because so many different people, so many different government entities, and they would hide behind, well, that's, we're just following CDC guidelines. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Well, yeah. Did I hear that correctly, though? Did they say they're rescinding mandates?
Rescinding for CDC, it's recommendations because the CDC doesn't actually have the authority.
Right.
So they are rescinding those. But the way that it all worked out is that they gave cover for others to impose the restrictions and the violations of people's rights and the violations of the First Amendment because they went, well, we're just following CDC guidelines.
Well, I thought he said that they were rescinding mandates. I'm like, well, wait a minute. The right. CDC, they have no capability of that.
Right. So, but they were, what they were doing was being put into policy. Here's another fun fact. And I saw this in essentially no mainstream media. But if you doubt me, you don't think I'm telling the truth. Look it up yourself. Not this past Friday, but the previous Friday, the CDC rescinded, quietly updated its website, rescinded its recommendation that masks be required in medical settings. So when you go to a doctor's office or you go to a hospital or you go to the urgent care and they make you put on a mask, otherwise they're going to deny you health care. They say, nope, CDC guidelines. They're not the CDC guidelines anymore. But that didn't get any attention. Because remember when every mandate was imposed and media ran with it and it was, here's how they're saving your life right now. Just comply.
Oh, don't yeah. Well, question. No, they had daily required requirement lists on television saying what is required of you each time you step out the door. I remember that very clearly, and because I avoided as much of it as I could. But if they're only being truthful, they should be listing the same things as they're being taken away.
Yeah, CDC being truthful.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about mainstream media even.
Oh, mainstream media being truthful.
That's even funnier. Yeah,
exactly. But that's actually a thing now. So when you go into the doctor's office, like, well, we're following CDC guidelines if you question. And I think everybody should be pushing back against that. Even if you end up putting the damn mask on, you should be making sure that that person there gets some grief from you. Now, don't abuse them. But the reason being is you say they don't set the rules. They're just doing what their bosses say. I get that. But you need that follow up going up to the bosses. It's like, I'm getting person after person who are complaining about this. Apparently, the CDC doesn't recommend. Can you please get these people off my back?
Yeah.
And that's why I think you should say something.
I actually go to the doctor today for a checkup.
And I'm curious as to how that's going to go.
Yeah. And they require masks normally. Yeah. So I'm going to mention it to them. Yeah. I'll put this mask on, but you know it's not a CDC requirement right now.
Right. Yeah. Say they've dropped that. Why are you still requiring it when they've dropped that requirement? Or they've dropped that recommendation, rather. Exactly.
I should be careful and say recommendation. Yeah.
Because that's the argument. Well, we're just following CDC recommendation. No, you're not.
Not really.
Now, first of all, the masks, you know, for years now,
multiple years,
we know they don't work.
Right.
Period.
They don't.
You want to make a case for an N95? Okay. That's fine. That's
and
different.
Even that one doesn't. It worked. That's a 40%er there.
Right. So, but the paper mask's worthless.
Yeah.
And so, but with that right there, that was a very quiet change that the CDC made. All right. At 8:35 here, we'll get into this. But here's a few basic details. St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman pointing out that what's happening in the city of St. Louis is spilling over into not just St. Louis County, but in St. Charles County when it comes to violent crime. And he found a very clever way to call out the city. And that was he went to the state legislature, basically kind of an open letter request. Hey, I propose that the state of Missouri consider taking over the city police department because of the violence and the fact that the police aren't able to corral this at all. And then he also made suggestions about combining the city and St. Louis County prosecutorial duties and let people vote on one for both of them. And, of course, this is going to ruffle feathers, and it really has. But here's why Executive Steve Ellman says he did it, and he told this to our news partners, KMOV.
The reputation has hurt us because people that don't live here don't understand that it's not everywhere.
Yeah, and so 8:35, I'm going to follow up on that and get your thoughts on that as well. Also, Albert Pujols last night against the Pittsburgh Pirates, he hit number 703, two-run home run. Those were the only runs that the Cardinals scored. They ended up losing 3-2. Same two teams play this afternoon at 5:35, and then the Cardinals will finish the season in Pittsburgh as well. These last game or two are actually rain-out makeups that they've tacked on to the end of the season. So Albert Pujols still going strong. And then playoffs, baby.
Yep.
Playoff baseball, once again, right here in St. Louis. 314-912-1019. I'm going to start off here. We have a serious conversation about crime in the metro area, but one of the dumbest crimes I've ever heard of happened in St. Louis yesterday. I'll tell you about that right around 8:35 here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, we're going to have a conversation about crime in the St. Louis city, the way it's affecting some other areas, but I was watching, there's a Twitter handle that basically just keeps you up to date with what's happening with St. Louis Scanner. I think it's called St. Louis Scanner Traffic. And I saw it pop up in Jefferson County. This is where it started. I don't mean to laugh because it's a crime and people could have been hurt, but so what happened was there was a guy who was in the hospital in Jeffco, and he is discharged from Mercy Jefferson Hospital. It's believed that he was on drugs. So he's discharged. And according to Crystal City Police, he saw an ambulance sitting there in the parking lot by the door that was unattended because they were taking, I'm sure, somebody into the hospital. Jumped in, went for a joyride, stole the ambulance right out of the parking lot. Yeah. The paramedics had just taken somebody inside a minute or two before. And this guy jumps in, allegedly, because I have to say allegedly, so lawyers, get off my back. So then he allegedly led police on a 70-mile-an-hour chase throughout St. Louis, talking about the city. They were able to keep track of the ambulance because they all have GPS tracking.
Yeah.
For such an occasion as this, in case somebody who is allegedly on drugs is discharged from a hospital and decides to grab an ambulance and run off.
Well, from my memory of my brother-in-law, who was an EMT in the fire department, would tell me that they knew where every ambulance was located so they could get them to go to another location if they needed to.
Right, so. Right, exactly. And so apparently during this whole time, and I remember watching this on Twitter kind of in live, in real time, and at one point there were 8 police cars chasing this ambulance that's running all over the area.
70 miles an hour actually is not a speed, high-speed chase. It's a good chase.
Yeah, but for an ambulance, though,
well,
because
maybe,
they're so heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for instance, like the great big fire trucks might be able to get up to 55 because they're so heavy. Ambulances are really heavy. So 55 is actually cruising for an ambulance, and going 70 is really fast. And somebody who doesn't know how to drive a vehicle like that, a quick turn could roll that thing.
Mm.
And so that's why it's significant that it was 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And 2 police cars were hit during all of this. Spike strips flattened one of the tires at one point. And so the man ran out on, Shermer Street near Pennsylvania Avenue. They did catch him, and he is in custody.
Oh, good.
So there you go. So he's got a place to.
He was probably laughing all the way to the to the pokey.
And so the ambulance district now has to, you know, fix a tire. And before somebody gets mad at the paramedics, stop. Don't. They get to the hospital. They jump out. You've got to get somebody into the emergency room.
Seconds count.
Seconds absolutely matter. It is very common to, you know, leave something, you know, unlocked, and you can't risk. We've got a heart attack call. We've got an accident call. You know, seconds matter. Who's got the keys? Joe, you got the keys? No, you got the keys. Oh, crap. No. So they leave them accessible. I mean, because they're the ones that are in and out on that. So that's I did not see. And my dad was an EMT and a firefighter when I was a kid. I don't believe that there was any indication. I've not seen anything that says there was some violation of protocol or procedures or anything like that. You just had a guy who decided to steal a vehicle and stole it.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, so the other news, and you can find this at KMOV.com, Steve Ellman, the county executive in St. Charles County, he's ruffling feathers in St. Louis City, and anybody who ruffles feathers in St. Louis City to their government, I think that's a very good thing. And he reached out to the state legislature saying, crime in St. Louis City is affecting St. Charles County. To a minor degree, he said, you know, St. Louis County as well, but he was really targeting the city. And we know that this happens. Not even the city can't even really deny that the problems, the violent crime there are spilling into other areas. Now, St. Charles County has criminals in it, too. St. Louis County has criminals in it, too.
Yeah, but you know where a variety of these people are coming from because they know where they're from. They catch them and they know where they're origin is.
Yeah, I mean, every community is going to have its scofflaw out there. It's going to have your bad seed. But in St. Louis City, you combine that with the pattern and the apparent policy of, first of all, not supporting your police department with the right manpower, not supporting them with competitive wages and benefits. We talked about that yesterday with how many, I mean, the city of Belleville is paying almost $20,000 more per year than the city of St. Louis is for police officers. And I know Belleville is big enough to have crime issues there too. They're not going to compare to St. Louis City, but you also look at the fact that criminals are routinely released, even those accused with credible evidence of violent crime by the city prosecutor who has essentially a pro-criminal mindset, or at least your policies look that way. Pro-criminal mindset, anti-police mindset. And Steve Ellman says the state should come in and take over the St. Louis Police Department again. And then he said, you know, a matter of fact, while we're at it, what you should do, talking to the state legislature, is combine the create a prosecutorial district. St. Louis City, St. Louis County. Now, he's talking about this, and it's not even his county. And so this is where those feathers get ruffled in politics, saying create one city, county together. Let the people vote on who they want their prosecuting attorney to be. Now, that's a slap at Kimberly Gardner is what it is. The city, of course, not real wild about this. But what's happening is Steve knows that the state legislature is not going to do either of these things. Governor Parson says, we're not taking over police department. We want to partner with him. He's not interested in that fight with the city. But he's making the city respond to it. And every day that they go without a serious response just makes them look worse to the entire region. They know it. Steve Ellman knows it. You know it. We all know it here in the studio. So he's putting extra pressure on them, and he's also highlighting the fact that they have, past tense, fallen down. They have failed in the city when it comes to crime, and present tense, it's affecting people outside of their city borders.
Yeah, and the city government is dysfunctional at best. I mean, they are doing things that are derogatory to the police department function. And that's, I mean, when you have a blacklist from the prosecuting attorney's office on certain police officers that when they do an arrest, that one's going to be right. Just ignored.
They mean literally kick the case.
Yeah.
Because it's from that cop. So when that cop runs into a situation and makes an arrest for an assault or finds a suspect in a carjacking, if they're on that list, they're on the street going, well, why bother? I mean, they're not going to keep them.
And these cops aren't bad cops. What is my point? You know, if you've got a bad cop, get them off the road.
Absolutely.
You know, they shouldn't even be there.
Yeah, get them off the force. And every good cop would agree with that.
Yeah. And these are cops that have been determined by the prosecuting attorney that they just should be on a blacklist for whatever reason. She thought that they should be.
Yeah. And that could be for anything from social media posts to, you know, citizen complaints or whatever the case is on that.
Or just differing of political views. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, just anything she doesn't like about him.
Right.
That's the bad part of prosecutorial discretion is they don't have to take any case. You know, good prosecutors use that for leverage and use it to say, okay, what's actually justice here? Kimberly Gardner uses it for political ideology. And it's the results of that are evident.
Well, when we have a prosecuting attorney who's Soros funded, then that's what we get.
And the results are obvious. That's what Steve Ellman was calling out.
Yep.
314-912-1019. This is 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, it's too kind of an open line thing here. We covered a lot of ground today. Got some thoughts on any of it. Want to hear your thoughts. Mark Montavani in with us a little bit ago. You can hear that on our News Talk STL podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, I've mentioned this before, just go ahead and subscribe, look up News Talk STL, because that is something I think you're going to want to send to your friends and anybody who's a voter in St. Louis County so they can know, okay, here's the choice on this. And it's interesting when I'm just out and around because I live in St. Louis County, the differences of opinions among not just Republicans and conservatives, but also among, you know, my Democratic friends as well. A lot of people are just torn on both sides. In the middle, I'm sensing, and I have absolutely no polling data, not that I would trust polling data at this point anyway because of the state of polling. I'm sensing that independents are very open to Mark Montavani. I think they really are going that direction. Now, I don't know that there's a lot of independents in St. Louis County. It's a light blue county. It's not a deep blue county the way that St. Louis City is a deep blue city. But that means there's a lot of Republicans as well. So on the Democratic side, I've got just personal conversations as I'm around the county, people saying, yeah, I know, Mark Romney is a lot better, but you know what? I'm a Democrat. I need to vote for the Democratic candidate. I voted for Mantovani before, but, you know, and I asked him, I said, but, I mean, do you like Sam? Oh, no, I don't like Sam Page. Of course not. I haven't sensed there's a lot of people who say, no, Sam Page is my guy. I just am not hearing that.
I mean, you're going to have your sycophants on the left.
Sure.
They're just going to vote for Sam Page no matter what because they love being masked up. They love the fear. They love all the good stuff that they like. But I'm trying to think of myself. I'm not a Republican. I would consider myself an independent. I mean, I don't vote party line. I vote for basically somebody who's going to fight in government to get the people's business done. And I'm trying to imagine that someone on the left has to be the same way. That's an independent, but they lean left a little bit, mm-hmm. but they're kind of independent. And they're like, yeah, I'm looking at Sam Page and I'm seeing a lot of corruption and things like that. I can't imagine them not voting for Mantovani. I just can't. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there are, and to your point, there are a few people out there that say, no, I think Sam Page has done great. There's the same people that think Lisa Clancy's sane. Mm-hmm. So you've got a few of those. But on the Republican side, or on the right, or on the conservative side, however you want to say it, free market side, conservative, you know, whatever, I have actually heard more of this saying, what, we take the guy who used to be a Democrat and suddenly we're going to be convinced that he's a conservative Republican? Mark Mantovani's not claiming that. He's not claiming that he's the new Ted Cruz. Mark Mantovani is saying, you know who I am. He's run for office before. He hasn't changed any of that, but he's got an opportunity now to challenge Sam Page. And so there are, I'm sure, plenty of things on a number of social issues that I disagree with Mark Mantovani on.
Yeah. When David called, I understood why he said what he said about, you know, he woke up in halfway through the interview.
Right.
You know, I get it. Because you need to have, right now, where we are, you need passion every single day. This thing is not, you can't phone it in on any one day.
Yeah, so let's talk about this from the, and we're talking about the people who are likely the most dedicated, consistent, true conservatives, or libertarians, or conservative, you know, constitutionalists, who are saying, if I'm picking the ideal candidate, you know, I would have picked somebody else. I would have picked, some of the state reps, you know, or state senators, or somebody, you know, who's truly a constitutional Republican conservative. Okay, I get that. And there are some people I am worried are going to say, I'm not showing up. I don't have somebody who meets my standards. And first of all, you know, Mantovani says, I'm bringing a business, basically CEO approach to the county government. That's what's going to be different. And he is very technical. He's very detailed in his answers, but I heard him lay out, you know, here's what the plan is. Here's what's going to be different with that. We don't have to sit here and bash Sam Page. If you don't know that he is awful as a leader, as a politician,
then you'll vote for him.
As a human being. Yeah. If you don't know that already, there's nothing I'm going to do that's going to convince you of it. Am I still going to point out his corruption? Am I still going to point out what lousy character he has? Absolutely. But we're not basing full shows on that. Here's what we've got right now is we've got a candidate who is going to be a massive improvement in county government over Sam Page. To me, that is a no-brainer when it comes to voting. And I'm saying that to the people who are just as conservative, just as libertarian, just as constitutionalist as I am. If you want to have a purity test, have a purity test. But I want to see a change, and I want to see an improvement in St. Louis County government.
Well, I mean, you've got the big R Republicans. I've heard a couple say, you know, I'm not voting for a Democrat or a Republican who used to be a Democrat. And Vic, you had that cartoonist. Was it Todd's picture with the guy with the head cut off?
Yeah.
To explain it,
two guys sitting at a bar. One guy says, "I only voted for Biden so I could vote against Trump." And the other guy says, "Yeah, it makes sense to me. I didn't want to have a headache, so I amputated my head." You look kind of like I've got no hands.
And that's the point. You know, that's the whole point of this too. Because
this is such an odd situation. I mean, I've never actually ever seen a situation like this before.
I've never seen it. Yeah,
we keep because we were for Jane Duker, right? Anything's better than Sam Page. And it's just the weirdest situation. And the whole CEO thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that we should have a CEO run the country. because, you know, fiscally minded, right? And we got one with Trump, and everything was fine. And then you get rid of him.
Right.
So I think Mantovani kind of fits in that CEO kind
he
of
does,
plan.
He does, yeah, yeah.
Ideally, county government is not one of those areas where you're diving headfirst into social stuff. Sam Page has done that as a point of division.
I just want Baxter Road fixed, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's all I want. Yeah. I mean,
I hope they don't fix it, because then you'll be like, I'm done.
It's the worst road.
Here's the way I've lived my life, is that I want to support my local community. You know, when somebody says, hey, first, this happened at Busch Stadium on Saturday. I'm visiting with some people who are in town. They came in from Denver. They're watching the Cardinals game. And they said, hey, we're just in town a couple of days. You got any good restaurants you recommend? We love checking out local restaurants. I immediately started pointing out stuff in St. Charles County and in Clayton, because I knew that was close enough to downtown for where they're staying. And I'm just saying, there's a couple really good restaurants around here, but I'm telling you, after dark, you don't want to go there. And I'm pointing them to somewhere else. I live in Richmond Heights. Richmond Heights city government's just left-wingy and goofy. And I recommend, if a business person were to come to me right now saying, hey, I'm going to set up shop, I'm going to hire 25 people, this is what I'm going to do, where should I start looking? I would actively tell them not to locate in my community, because the county government is so hostile to business. I would say, you need to look at St. Charles County. That's where you need to go. And I don't want to have to do that.
All right. It's any city, restaurants are, part of the heart of the city, right?
Yeah,
where do you go eat? Joe Sanfilippo had that great restaurant inside the Drury, right?
Yeah.
And, the Rams went away and, crime and everything. And now he's done. Even Filippo's out in West County has gone. So
Wow.
Those are two great restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was another fast food place in Maplewood that closed over the way on Manchester Road, right by Big Ben. The Jack in the Box now shut down. But they had been warning, because I haven't been there in a long time, but I went through there a couple times against the advice of my wife,
doctor,
common sense, anybody. but they would put up signs that said, because of short staffing, we can't promise we'll ever be open at any particular time.
There used to be a great mall downtown on 4th Street. Beautiful mall.
Yeah. And St. Louis, what was it called?
I don't care. but because of crime, it had to close,
It was beautiful, yeah.
Right. And so during all the shutdowns and everything, St. Charles County flourished, because there were so many of us going up there to eat and buy stuff without these ridiculous rules that Sam Page imposed, which later courts threw out most of them.
Yeah.
And St. Charles County didn't have any more COVID cases than anybody else. Freedom works. It
Freedom
wins.
County.
Highlight of the day coming up in 10 seconds.
Randy Tober and Nick Schroer.
There you go. Vic Porcelli, 904 on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.